I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow night's Game 4 of the NBA Finals. And man, I'll tell you what, we'll see at least two fights. Two fights, that's my prediction. Metal Chris, I'm going to set the over-under at 1.5 fights. Would you take the over with me at 2?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
All right. Yeah, it feels like it, doesn't it?
And these have to be individual fights, like not two sets of people fighting at the same time, right?
Right. Two individual dust-ups or fisticuffs, if you will. Now, granted,
And yelling's counting?
Yes, because that's where I was going to go. It's an NBA fight, so it's a lot of like, no, you first. It's a lot of that, but that counts. Is that fair?
Yeah, that'll count. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think this works. Look, it's a little bit of this is good.
Do fans fighting count in any way?
No, because that's going to be a lot. We don't need that. They're going to have the watch party outside Madison Square Garden again. But the Knicks just can't lose because apparently fans will just start fighting Spurs fans. Can we not? Like, just in general, if you are a fan, don't go fighting the fan of another team. You'll look like an idiot. You're going to get arrested. What?
Suns in four.
Oh, yeah. Suns in four. It's just, like, I just, look, here's me. Like, I get it. Like, I've suffered a long time with fans of, you know, a lot of the teams that I've had. But, like, I would never get to a point where I'm so emotionally invested in my team that if they lose, I'm going to fight a fan of another team. It's not like they're coming at you. I mean, you initiating the fight because you're wearing the jersey of another team. It is just...
Have you been to New York?
Yes, I have.
Have you and met the fan base of anyone?
I'm not saying that there is a surprise here that this happened. What I'm saying is that it's dumb. It's really stupid. And it's just, yeah, it's been easy through the 13-game winning streak. How do you handle adversity as a fan base, damn it? Get back to that. Let's get the mental fortitude up a little bit more if you're a Knicks fan. Because it's a 13-game winning streak that ended, but they're still up 2-1 in this series. But I'll tell you this right now. If this Knicks team looks as flat and looks as soft as they did against the Spurs, it's going back to San Antonio with this thing tied 2-2. And it's going to be... I mean, it is, if I look correctly, so it was, I think it was, Mikal Bridges had, he had 2 points in that game. And wait, it is going back to San Antonio, right? Wait, is it 2-3-2 or 2-1-1-1? Hold on. I'm having a complete brain fart here, and I will call myself out on the air. Yeah, game five's in San Antonio. Okay, good. I had to make sure. Because I said that, and I was like, wait, it is 2-2-1-1-1. Yes, okay, so it's 2-2-1-1-1. Look. The Knicks just looked low. I'm not going to make the argument that it's like they were too juiced up because of the fans and everything that was going on there. I just think San Antonio woke up. It was really they had nothing to lose, which was really their mentality from the beginning. I never understood why the Spurs were such heavy favorites heading into the finals anyway with the way the Knicks were playing, especially those first two games. Game two, the Spurs were 6.5-point favorites. That's a lot. It's a lot for a team that lost game one and blew a 14-point lead. I think the Spurs were valued, not even from like a betting perspective, I'm just saying in general, the Spurs were valued far too much given the inexperience that they have. And I understand that they got to a point where it was like, oh, they're exceeding expectations. They're exceeding their lack of experience.
They
they're jumping
just
the line.
They beat the champs, too. I mean,
they did, but at the same time, and I this is why I've harped on this for so long, at some point, a young team hits a wall in the playoffs. They just hit it through the first two games of the series. Now the question becomes, does that carry over to this game four at all?
I think a lot of people felt that the winner of the Western Conference Finals was basically going to be handed the championship as well.
And so
that might be a factor there too, is regardless of which of those teams won, was probably going to be favored in the finals, at least to a lot of bettors.
But tell me this, like if you go back and look at the history of teams that have gone through those points, like in their, you know, in their jumps, their trajectory, their growth, whatever it is, don't you always see that team that may be like the one seed in the East, one seed in the West, you still go, oh, wow, they lost earlier than I expected. I mean, you could even argue, look at the Pistons this year. The Pistons lost in the second
Celtics
round.
The Celtics, too.
The Celtics for years were in that spot, and they were really young. See, that's a good point, too, because remember, the Celtics, we're going back to when Kyrie was there and Jason Tatum was a rookie and still 19 years old, and we're going, oh, my God, they're going to win like five championships. And they kept losing and falling short year after year, but people forgot. It was like 4 or 5 years in. These guys are 24, 25 years old. They were still really, really young. It takes time. It takes time in the NBA as a team to grow and learn and have success in the playoffs. It's very clear, if you ever wanted evidence, that games are officiated and played differently in the playoffs than the regular season, watch these playoffs. Watch just these NBA finals, because they are letting lots of stuff go. And I'm all for a more physical game, but to a point. Like, there's so much of this, like, something I put on Instagram yesterday, and people were like, oh, that's soft, you're saying the Spurs are dirty. They were dirty. Spurs were dirty in Game 3. I mean, Stephon Castle should have been called for a foul flying through Jalen Brunson. Victor Wembanyama should have been at least teed up for throwing Jalen Brunson the way he did. But the refs allowed this stuff to happen. They were letting it happen earlier in games. The free throw disparity was real, especially in the second half. Mike Brown talked about it after the game. He's like, they took 24 free throws. We took 8. That's a big difference. Even if there were fouls there, that is far too one-sided for it not to be an issue and not to be a determining factor in a series. That mattered. But the difference here is that the Knicks now have to answer heading into Game 4. Because if this is 2-2, heading back to San Antonio, all momentum is going the Spurs' way. And the Knicks had no pressure, really, heading into this finals because they were the underdogs. Because all of the hype was around the Spurs and Victor Wembanyama. And then all of a sudden it changed. It was like, oh, this Knicks team. And I understand, the Knicks were riding a winning streak. They had an 11-game win streak heading into the finals. It still was all about San Antonio. And you're right, Metal Chris, because you're right. The West, it was like, okay, who wins that is going to win the title. The Knicks were overlooked, but they got a lot of guys that have a lot of playoff experience. Not finals experience, but a lot of playoff experience. Little bit with that roster. Obviously, they put more pieces together, but at least going back to last season, they got to an Eastern Conference Finals. They've added more depth. They've added some other guys, but guys just have to shoot better. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, if you can't shoot, like, that's the thing. It's role players are supposed to be better at home. And you got the opposite from that for the Knicks. That's a big problem. Now, I wouldn't call Mikal Bridges a role player, but, I mean, he's not the biggest star on the team. And we know he's had his troubles shooting the basketball since he got to New York. Landry Shamet was terrible. He was 1 for 8 from the field. That guy's been, lights out all playoffs. Even Karl Anthony Towns, who I said through the first two games of the finals, that was finals MVP right there, not Jalen Brunson. Karl Anthony Towns played far better basketball than Jalen Brunson, shot the ball better, and made life hell for Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama struggled the first two games of the playoffs because of Karl Anthony Towns on both sides of the court. Both. You got nothing. Nothing. Cat became a little kitten again, and it's really what he was. And it was like, what happened? What happened to the guy that's done all this for the Knicks in the playoffs? So that's the thing. You didn't even get like a normal Knicks team. I do think they come back and win Game 4 tomorrow. I think it goes 3-1 back in San Antonio, but it ain't going to be easy, and it's going to be physical, and I think it's a lower-scoring game, too, because you're going to start having a lot more fouls called. The pace is going to get slowed down, because these officials know now, if you don't get this game in Game 4 under control, you're going to lose it real quick. The spotlight is on the refs in this, and you never want, like, there are certain things you don't want in sports. You don't want your sport to be dominated in the regular news cycle, like Brendan Sorsby, you don't want the regular news like CNN or whoever talking about something involving college football because it usually means it's something bad and it's a controversy or whatever. It's the same thing like the NBA. You don't want people talking about the officials. You don't want refs being the dominant topic. You don't want them trending on social media, and they are. And that's a big problem with this. So I see this game getting called tight, especially early. And I think that's going to be something you'll have to watch. It's like, how can these teams handle a slower, jumpy pace that you're probably going to get very early? Also, maybe Timothy Chalamet, maybe a little less of him. I think maybe he's the problem. Am I the only one that's kind of tired of it? Like, he's a good actor. He's done some great movies. I'm just kind of tired of the constant shots of him. I think maybe it's just the celebrity row as a whole. I'm just like,
I like the SVU guys being there. That was cool.
I did kind of like that, though. Now, Larry David, I could get Larry David all day. More Larry David, the better.
Yeah.
But I saw somebody, there was a meme. Have you watched Curb? Are you a Curb fan at all? Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I have watched some of it. I have not watched like every episode.
Okay.
But
it's one of the most cringy, hilarious.
No, it's funny. Creative. As hell.
It's an, yeah, it's an unbelievable show. But I saw somebody, people were doing like storylines as to what would happen if Larry David had done an episode there. And it was like Larry David forgets that his wallet was left on the court and Jalen Brunson slips and falls on it and the Knicks lose or something. Just like episodes that you'd have in Curb Your Enthusiasm. I could get more Larry David, one of the funniest dudes of all time. I mean, of all time. But a lot of the celebrity row, I'm kind of over at this point. I saw this, too. The cheapest ticket at Madison Square Garden for the 1999 NBA Finals, when it was Knicks Spurs then, the cheapest ticket was $60. The cheapest ticket was $6,000 for Game 3. That is insane. Like, we knew the tickets were expensive, but to see that difference, I know it's 27 years ago, but I mean,
more than inflation, though.
That's definitely more. That is artificial inflation. That is a starving franchise that's looking to maximize this as much as possible. But here's the thing: they sold out. People paid it, so I don't blame them.
Are those secondary market prices, or that the actual list price?
A lot of those were secondary market, I think, but they were.
Yeah, so like the Knicks aren't making $6,000 off of each ticket or whatever.
But they're still jacking up those prices a lot.
I'm sure the beer didn't get cheaper.
And that's where a lot of the money's made anyway, is the concessions. I don't even know. I actually have not seen
parking, all those things.
I haven't been in the Garden in years. I'm trying to think. I didn't park there. I mean, there's parking. How much is there? I guess there's a decent amount under.
They got a lot of lots around there and stuff.
Yeah,
it's right by like the Javits Center too, which they have got parking there and all that.
That's true. Have you been to concerts there before? I feel like you probably have.
No.
Wow.
I've never seen an actual concert there. When I was in like, I don't know, ninth grade or something, our marketing class took a field trip to Madison Square Garden and we did this like behind the scenes tour and we got to go in like the locker room of the Rangers when Messier was playing there and we went in the Knicks locker room and stuff. It was cool.
It's a great venue. You know, it's a storied venue, and it's now with the Knicks winning, it makes it a whole different situation. But I will say this: what I would rather them show is less of Celebrity Row and more of like Larry Johnson and Latrell Sprewell and John Starks, and you know, seeing all the aged stars coming back, and you're like, man, look how gray Larry Johnson is now. And it's like, that's the stuff that I'd rather see, but I get it. They're going to show Timothy Chalamet and Ben Stiller. Although Ben Stiller is doing all these like cinematic shots with his phone that he's putting on social media.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. I will say that.
That's cool. It's just, it's like showing off your access, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, though. You know,
I've never been big on people that show off their access, like their special access. It's like,
then you should stay off social media because that's all it is.
No, I know. It's just, I don't know.
I get it. I mean, I know what you're saying, but at least that is like kind of creative. You know, it's unique looking. It looks very cinematic and it's, you know, visually impressive. He's also in film, so it's like it's Ben Stiller. He knows how to do this stuff. And I don't know if he's got a lens on his camera. I know nobody cares, but I care. So it is what it is. But yeah, look, I think we are going to have a very, very physical game four tomorrow night. And this Knicks team better answer because now the Spurs smell blood, and they're going to come out and keep doing that. They're going to see what the refs are going to give them, right? It's like, let's see how physical we can be, and let's see where the line is. They are going to try and find the line, and they're going to tiptoe up to it, and they're going to jump back and forth on one side or the other constantly throughout the game.
I wonder if they're going to try to draw the Knicks into it a little and get the Knicks fouling also.
Fouling and also trying to get in their head because now they know they're pissed off. Like, Jose Alvarado was, you know, because Wemby threw him one time and then there was the Jalen Brunson thing with Wemby, and Jose Alvarado's like, he got one, he's not going to get another. And, you know, he's a little tough guy, but he's a tough guy. So it's like the Knicks are now coming also angry. So are they going to play angry, or are they going to play like a team that's focused on winning a basketball game? Because that's the thing, too. Like, if you're easily manipulated and another team can get in your head, that's when you start to lose that focus, and that's where the problems really start to happen. So
you don't shoot better that way.
You definitely don't. And then, God, they shot horrible in that game. I mean, the fact that the game was close as it was, given some of the guys that could not shoot the basketball, it was, I mean, Karl Anthony Towns was terrible. Landry Shamet was terrible. Mikal Bridges was terrible. I mean, none of those guys showed up at all for the Knicks. It really was like Jalen Brunson and then Josh Hart. I mean, that was a majority of it. OG Anunoby was pretty good, too. But, yeah, you can't. What worked for the Knicks in the first two games, you got to get back to that. But the Spurs, right now, the Spurs know, like, we're going to push them around, we're going to get in their head, and it's going to piss them off. And it's worked. And that's the difference. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, no. I promised it was only one segment. I promised it was one topic. Brandon Ayuk has spoken again. Nick Ashew on The Fan. Brandon Ayuk has gone back to Instagram again, which is again why I'm starting to lean towards the he's doing everything he can, and this is a hostage note. This is a hostage video. Now, Metal Chris, let me know when we actually have the
audio ready.
We've got it? All right.
And another thing. You want to know why they really mad, though? They mad because they stupid. They dumb. They mad that they paid me $50 million in 8 months. And they avoided my guarantees for 2027. And I'm about to be on a new team in 2027. They mad at they sales for real. Niggas acting like they mad at me, but they stupid ass mad at they self.
Yeah, but you let them void the guarantees. You could have fought it and you didn't. Why? I still need to know this. Why? Why? Why did he not fight all of that extra money that was guaranteed to him and not get it? Is it that bad there? Again, this is why I want to know his side of the story. I'm not saying he's even right. I just want to know. Don't we want to know at some point? Like, now this is going to be a thing because now he's gaining momentum. So now we're going to start getting more and more of these videos because people are noticing. So what happens next? How long does this go? Now, listen, if the 49ers get sick of this, because it's now been, what, 3 days or whatever it is from Brandon Ayuk, with that one being the newest one that was just, I guess, posted a little while ago here. I mean, at what point do the 49ers really do just say, we've had enough? And I don't know what it would take. Like, I honestly don't know what it would take for the 49ers to move past, because that's all this is petty. They are petty. That's all we're looking at right now. So if you're the 49ers and you see him continuing to post stuff and say things like this, like, that's not enough to get you cut. It's not going to be. But is he going to start pushing the envelope, right? Like, the Spurs were pushing the envelope in Game 3 as much as they could. Let's see what the refs are going to call. Well, this is the same thing. Now Brandon Ayuk's like, let's see what the 49ers do. Let me see what I can say. But he has to be careful. Because if he starts crossing the line too much, then even the Commanders might look and go, I mean, unless they already have. They might have. They might just look and go, all right, this is enough. We don't want anything to do with it. But this is where, like, we're in the gray area now. Where it's like, okay, you're trying to get yourself out. Everybody understands it. Everybody knows he's not playing there next year. We all know the 49ers are just hanging on and hanging on and making this a thing. Okay, but then what? How much longer do you do this? And at what point, if you're the 49ers, seriously, at what point, if you're the 49ers, do you say, you know what? We keep this going. Other players around the league are going to look around and say, you know, that team got real petty with Brandon Ayuk. Even if they don't side with Brandon Ayuk, at what point do players or agents or people that are part, that are friends or whoever with somebody that could be a free agent that could consider signing with the 49ers, is this going to be a factor where they go, you know, I don't like how you handle the Brandon Ayuk situation. I don't want to play there. Because when we talk about the draft, right, it's like every little detail that teams will look, check this box, just to mitigate as much risk as you possibly can with the guy you drafted. It's the same thing in free agency, where there might be 3 or 4 teams that you want to go to and you want to play with. But then you've got to start figuring out, because you'd only make one choice. And does a choice come down to a free agent and say, you know what, man? I don't like the way the 49ers handled the Brandon Ayuk situation. Maybe they're even friends with Brandon Ayuk. I don't know. You don't know who's connected with who necessarily and who hangs out with who in the offseason or who has the same agent, right? That's the other thing. I know the representation's kind of not the same thing for him. It's a little bit different. But you get the idea. Like, this is still something the 49ers have to think about, too. Like, at what point do you want to be looked at as the petty organization that let this drag on too long when most teams would just say, I'm done, it's enough, I'm over it? Because it's definitely petty. We know they're not going to get any trade offers for him. We know they're going to release him at some point. It's just a matter of when. If you believe the narrative for one second, that the 49ers really truly believe that they're going to get anything in return for Brandon Ayuk in a trade, then you are lying to yourself and you are being lied to, because it ain't happening. And it's only going to get harder and harder for that to happen. So at what point do you just cut bait and say enough? That's what he's trying to execute here. That's what he's trying to make happen. He's like, look, if I keep trashing them long enough, they're going to be so sick of me, they're just going to say, throw up their hands and say, fine, we're done. That's obviously what he's doing. Now, he hasn't, like, crossed the line, but it's one of those, like, do you really want to do this? Do you want people to see you in this light? But, listen, I will say this. Brandon Ayuk's been quiet for a long time. He hasn't said much. Now, he's not really saying too much with this now. It's all very cryptic, but that right there. Play it again. Can you play it again, Metal Chris? Here's Brandon Ayuk again on Instagram.
And another thing. You want to know why they really mad, though? They mad because they stupid. They dumb. They mad that they paid me $50 million in 8 months. And they avoided my guarantees for 2027. And I'm about to be on a new team in 2027. They mad at they sales for real. Niggas acting like they mad at me, but they stupid ass mad at they self.
I don't know if they're mad that they avoided his guarantees because they don't have to pay him, so he's probably wrong there. But they could be mad that they paid him $50 million in 8 months. So I think he's probably half right there. Metal Chris, does this change your thoughts on earlier at all and lean you more into a hard no?
I don't know, man. This kind of social media stuff does not impress me. I'll just say that. It is
no, you
not.
Hate it so much. You yeah. hate it so much.
Yeah. But just like this note, did you notice I got "Hey, stupid" up in time for that clip where he's saying "stupid" like five times? I just, you know.
I mean,
little production note there.
It was good. It was good production. God, it's. I mean, are we gonna get something like this every day now?
I don't know. It's like this is the third one in a row or something, right?
Yeah, this is like 3 in 3 days. The first one was just the shirtless with the hat. It was like, well, it was like a couple of, I think it was a whole carousel.
I was working with Denton on Sunday, and we had a different clip of him that just came out. Yeah. Now we've got another one. Like,
that was the second one where he had his glasses on, and it was like the side angle of him.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit more cryptic. This was more direct. This was, they're stupid because they're mad because they're stupid and paid me $50 million in 8 months. Well, that doesn't really help you in your case if you're saying they're stupid for it paid you. Second part, though, they're not mad that they voided his guarantees for 2027. They should actually be happy with that. Again, I want to know why he didn't fight that. Like, I just, again, if it's just like, I just want to get out, well, clearly that didn't work. So at this point now, and I don't even know the rules. You know, it'd be a real thing to go petty in return. And I don't know if this is possible, if there's a statute of limitations or whatever it is. Can he still go and fight for that guaranteed money? Like, can he now go to the NFLPA and say, now I want to fight to get that money? Because that would be a great way to counter all this, if you could.
I'd imagine, I mean, you can always sue in America. The question is, will you win? But you can always sue.
You can sue. So that's the next question. Does he need to take this to the legal route and go, you know what, fine then. You're not going to let me go? Then I'm going to go fight for my guaranteed money. I mean, we can make, how petty can we make this? Like, how far can we take it? Because you've still gone the farthest route. When you said that he's, you know, out there and sabotages the team, I loved that idea. If we're just going like,
you can't
all in.
Tell me that's not even possible.
I mean, well, he'd have to actually be on the field, and there's no way he's on the field. But if he were on the field,
I mean, like even if he was on the sidelines signaling calls, like he might have access to that at least.
Could you imagine if they even let him on the sideline, but he wasn't allowed to play?
I know,
like even
I
that.
Know.
Again, I'm all,
I mean, maybe
for
he's
the
got
chaos.
Something in his contract though, where he's got a dress or something. You know, I don't know. Like,
just to be extra petty, where they're like, "No, you have to show up." I mean, listen, there are so many levels of just. It's not like we haven't seen stuff like this before with receivers, Terrell Owens and Keyshawn Johnson and Ocho Cinco, and like, you know, very, we can go down the list of various situations where this has happened with receivers. We act surprised every time it happens, but like, you know, this is the cliche of diva receiver, and this is kind of beyond diva. This has gotten to the point now where, you know, we got a lot more questions beyond just like throwing.
We're approaching AB territory. We're not there yet, but
it's getting closer to it. It's definitely getting closer where it's starting to become far more than just like, because I'll never forget it. We were at that point where it was just like, oh, this is a problem with the Steelers. He really wants out. And then there was that video where they told him, remember, he got traded because he got traded to the Raiders. And I think that was when he made a video of him like getting told and running through his house or something and celebrating. And then it got, you know, far worse. And then he got another opportunity and, you know, had his chances and, You know, yeah, I mean, there's far more going on there. There's a reason why he wasn't in the league after all that. But
didn't he join Tampa for like a week or something?
Yeah, it was with
like,
Tampa. Then he ran off and took his shirt off and was waving to the crowd, and that was it. That was his goodbye. Let me tell you what, you want to go out with a bang, though. He went out with a bang in the NFL. The last scene we ever saw was Antonio Brown shirtless running in the middle of a game to the locker room, just inciting the crowd to cheer. I mean, that was it. And people forget. I mean, that was the best receiver in the
NFL. WWE or something.
I mean, you know, honestly, it was perfect. Like, absolutely perfect. Again, it wasn't the Commander, so I don't care. It was entertaining. Yeah, I thought it was funny, you know, but I have no ties to it whatsoever. So I'm just there for the, you know, I'm just the embrace the chaos. But your chaos is far better, because if it's sabotaging the 49ers when they're playing the Commanders in some capacity, relaying, sign stealing, I love that. Here's what's coming next. He's sending texts.
So awesome.
He's sending texts over to Dan Quinn, like, "Hey, they're gonna run the next two plays. I know the script." God,
that'd be hilarious.
Breaking news: the 49ers cut Brandon Ayuk at halftime, and he signs with the Commanders in the locker room.
He just walks across the field.
Oh, just struts. No, but then he has to do the Antonio Brown and just, like, you know, start waving to the crowd, because but it's in San Francisco, so that won't work. They'd be booing him. That would make him a great heel. You know, the fans boo him. He goes from one sideline to the other, throws on a Commander's jersey, gets out there on the field. There's rules against that, but if this were WWE's version of, if it was the original XFL, actually, they might allow that to happen. The XFL! That's where it would have worked. There's the league that somebody needs to start. I want, like, real WWE NFL. Like, this kind of stuff. Like, guys get traded at halftime and switch teams.
Make the owner come down there and get into, like, you know, get a tackle by one of these guys after a bad contract dispute. You're like, owner, that Jim McMahon down there or whatever.
What was it the XFL did where they had, like, the loose ball scramble instead of a coin toss?
Yeah.
Let's have owners do that instead.
Oh, dude.
There you go. Well, I got some ideas for this.
Who wants to see me stomp a mud hole in this piece of trash?
I could come up with ideas for this all day. This might be what you and I could start this league. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it. We just got to get, like, The Rock or somebody to join us.
That's true. We do need The Rock. Well, he's already got the UFL, and now this is actually like a legit league. So, you know, maybe now you move on to something a little bit more crazy.
Hey, you know, Dennis Rodman will join stupid leagues.
Oh, yeah. Dennis Rodman would be great for this.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Dennis Rodman clips on social media lately. I forgot how much of it. I mean, I remember, but, like, all the little and antagonistic things that he's done. There was an interview. It was Sean Kemp was on All the Smoke podcast, and he was talking about how Dennis Rodman was just getting in guys' heads on the Sonics when they were playing in the finals. Dennis Rodman would stand at the free throw line and turn and stare at the guy next to him. He wouldn't even watch the shot. He would turn his back to the guy shooting, turn to his left, and stare at a guy next to him. I don't even remember who the guy was. It was some random dude, some random center on the Seahawks, or the Seahawks, on the Sonics that year. Can't even remember his name. He sat there with his hands behind his back and stared and smiled at him. I wish Dennis Rodman was around with social media, like, playing. really, that Bulls team in general.
He would have gotten in so much trouble on social media.
Oh my gosh. It'd just be, you know, I mean, obviously it's around now, but it's not like while he's playing. When he's playing,
his
and Jordan
life
with social
was
media.
So wild, too, you know.
Oh, man.
Dating Madonna and Carmen Electra and all these, like, celebrities.
I mean, yeah, just the going to Vegas, the sabbatical in Vegas. I mean, hey, Phil Jackson was like, look, if it means you're going to go out and get me 15 rebounds in a game, go to Vegas. And he knew it. Phil Jackson knew how to handle it. He was just like, look, everybody's different. I'm going to let him do his thing. It was out of the box, but it seemed to work. God, Dennis Rodman starting an XFL. There you go. I'm down for that. I'd be in on that. Nick Cashew on the Fan.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore, where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
So Metal Chris and I have decided we're going to start another football league, but it's really just going to be utter chaos. That's what we've decided throughout the entire time we've been doing this tonight. Nick Ashew on the Fan.
Chaos ball.
Chaos. Now, you know what? It's not so bad. Chaos ball. I think it's like a basketball, but we're just going to combine pro wrestling and football together instead. I could go for that. I think it'll work. Oh, God. Brandon Ayuk. If you missed it, Brandon Ayuk posted again. I'm not going to spend the entire segment doing that
the
again.
The only football league where you can get a folding chair brought in. Just into the field, just sneak one in while there's a play going on.
Do you remember the original XFL, like how crazy it was?
Yeah, it was hardly football sometimes. So.
Let me ask you this, complete hypothetical. If the XFL, the original XFL, like the XFL, like that XFL, if it started today with all the other crazy stuff that's on YouTube, like content has changed so much, would it have worked?
I think their production costs were so high was the issue.
They were.
Yeah.
But now it would be so much cheaper. It's so cheap to produce stuff now.
Well, hopefully.
I think it might.
It's still expensive. The staff it requires to run all that stuff, man.
I think Barstool could do it. I think if Barstool wanted to do something like that, they could make it work.
I think it'd be easier if you're doing it in more of like the Savannah Bananas way, where you're like a touring kind of thing, and it's not like, you know, six games going on every week, you know?
You know, that's actually a really good point, is that if you made it more like it's a touring event versus a league, and it's like the one game is the event. Although the Savannah Bananas, now Banana Ball is like, the Party Animals are another one that sells out. It's not just the Savannah Bananas anymore. I mean, they're building an empire. It's unbelievable.
Sure.
But you're right. I think that might be,
so we need
that
to
would
take
be the way to go.
Pro wrestling, pro football, and combine it with like the Harlem Globetrotters, basically.
You know what? Yeah. Ooh, and you could call it NFL Blitz, like the old NFL Blitz video game.
Oh, that game was so fun.
Oh, wasn't it? Do you remember for a while they made a mini arcade version of it and put it in Costco? Did you ever
played the mini arcade, but I used to play the heck out of that game on, was it PlayStation, I think it was on?
Yeah, I think it was on everything, wasn't it? Like, it was
on
multiple.
I had a few of them back then. I don't even remember.
Oh, man.
But
I loved NFL Blitz is one of my all-time favorite games because it's just, you don't have to have a lot of skill with it. It was just so much just like,
well, the guys that made Hang Time making a football game. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, it was so much fun. But I remember there was a point, and it was probably a short period of time, and I actually wanted to get one. I almost did. But it was a mini version of the arcade NFL Blitz game. And they sold it at Costco, and I will never forget going into Costco and looking for it. And I was with my wife, or were we even married then? I can't even remember. It depends on how long ago it was. And I remember seeing it, and I said, I'll see you when you're done. And I sat there the entire time and played it in Costco, and it was amazing. It was, and she knew it. She just was like, that's your babysitter. I said, yep.
You're sitting there crushing kids.
I did. I was just like, I was just plowing through the game. I was just, oh, it was so much fun. Dudes were walking by, and they were like, you're so smart. I was like, I know. I made it work. Yeah, man, NFL Blitz. You know what? I'll tell you what. This is the true nostalgia right here. I miss arcades.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun in some of those, too.
Oh, man. I mean, I know you can still, there still exist, you know, they're at, like, the beach, like, Ocean City has them and stuff like
pinball
that.
Pinball is quite a thing going on right now, too. There's a lot of pinball in places.
There is. There's, like, this, you know, here's the one thing I will say. People are now more and more, you're going to see this, experiences and, like, real-life stuff again is what people are looking for. With so much AI and then the years we spent stuck inside, basically, more of this like nostalgia and old things that involve events and people being together, it's becoming more and more popular. Maybe we'll see more of a rise of, I know it's arcades and you're still looking at a screen, but it's different. But man, as a kid, come on, going to play Mortal Kombat, NFL Blitz.
I love the old button mashers. You know, did you ever play like the Ninja Turtles or X-Men or like those games? Yeah.
Yes. Oh, just man. I
walk
was
down the street beating people up. Used to love those games.
Oh, man. Kids today, Metal Chris, will never understand what it was like to go into an arcade, get a bunch of coins, and just have your parents say, we'll see you in a little while.
Yeah, when I lived in Arizona, there was this place. It was right next door to the movie theater. Strategic place to put an arcade, by the way. It was called Nickel Palace. And every game that was normally a quarter was only 5 cents. And if it was two quarters, it was 10 cents. And you just go in there like $10 and just play all day. It was awesome.
Now, granted, you have Dave and Buster's, which is like an adult version of that. So they've, you know, they've.
Yeah, Dave and Buster's, I feel, has a lot of those like skee ball and basketball shoot, which there's a lot of like that kind of stuff. And I'm talking like this place was straight up arcade.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, there is definitely a difference between like, skee ball and pop a shot and all that. And then like.
Yeah, those are almost like Coney Island Carney games or something.
Tekken. Yes, you're right. That's a little bit more of what that is. So, but I think they work in certain areas. But yeah, I used to love that, man. Just NFL Blitz, NBA Jam, Mortal Kombat. Oh, get me to an arcade.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat was awesome. Tekken 3 I used to crack out on too, man.
Tekken, yep. Tekken, Mortal Kombat, all those fighting games. Those were my jam, man. Those were fun. Ah, the good old days. Nostalgia. What a powerful drug. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I'm not going to lie. I've watched the Brandon Ayuk video like 5 times. It's all over social media. It's not my fault. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I mean, yeah, they're probably mad they paid you $50 million in 8 months, but I don't know if they're mad that they avoided your you avoided your guarantees. Yes, Brandon Ayuk has surfaced again and posted again. Maybe this is an everyday thing. You know, this may just be Brandon Ayuk has a social media manager now, and they've said, listen, you need to post every day to make sure that you're in the algorithm and you keep your consistency up to build a social media presence.
There's
maybe that's
no way
is.
He has a social media manager doing
Are
this.
Are you saying,
there's
no, way. So that's not true. Okay. I was just, listen, I'm working through theories here, you know, as to what's going on. That's it. That's all I want to work with. Oh, my God. Well, we'll probably get another one tomorrow, and we'll see what happens. I mean, if he can keep this up at some point, the 49ers are just going to have to say that's enough. But
maybe he can just become an influencer at some point if he gets enough people following him. You know?
Again, everybody is a media company now if you want to be. You can build up your own presence and find your niche and your own content. Do you go niche or niche, by the way, Metal
Probably
Chris?
Niche.
Yeah, like I've still debated how I say that word both ways, and I need to kind of settle on one, and I've kind of done it my whole life, and it's becoming a more important word now in our business, but it is what it is. So,
well,
yeah.
As someone with many niche interests.
See, it does sound better. It sounds much more classy. It's like instead of saying a vase, you say a vase. I have a niche interest in vases. Is that, see, it's just like it sounds better, you know? Maybe not. We talked to PJ Glasser earlier, and this Brendan Sorsby thing with Texas Tech is, I mean, it's mind-blowing that this, well, let's put it this way, it's mind-blowing yet not at the same time. And the way I mean that is because, look, you got a local Texas judge who just happens to be in Lubbock, Texas, granting Sorsby a temporary injunction, $90,000 in bets over 4 years, including over 40 bets on his own Indiana team as a freshman. He used friends and family's accounts. It continued after he transferred to Texas Tech. Dude just got $5 million in NIL to go to Texas Tech, or, you know, to deal at Texas Tech, I mean. And it is just, look, I've done a lot of betting shows. I was on a betting network. And there are pros and cons to all this. And, you know, like anything in life, there can be too much. There can be a level of addiction, and this is addiction. $90,000 in bets in 4 years is a lot. Now, if you're a professional gambler, I mean, you're making a profit, which is really hard to do for a living, not just a hobby, more power to you. But this was not his hobby, and this was a problem, and it was betting on the sport that he played. You cannot do this. You cannot. You have so much to lose if you are an athlete and you're willing to risk it all to bet on your sport. Listen, you can play in the NBA and bet on the NFL. You can play in the NFL and bet on the NBA. Do that. If you're a college athlete, especially if you've got big NIL deals like Sorsby's gotten, $5 million right now at Texas Tech. But this is now, it's gotten to the point now where you've got the Big 12, Big 10. They're holding emergency meetings.
So you think it's okay to bet on different sports then? If you're, because, like, you still get into an issue where, like, say this guy gets in the hole a lot and now he owes someone involved, you know, some bookie or something, a lot of money, and he has to throw a game in his sport because he owes someone money that he's been gambling on another sport.
Well, here's the thing.
I mean, that's the issue, too. It's like, it's not just your sport, though, that can be impacted.
But you said the key word, and that's bookie. You work with a bookie, you're calling them up and just saying, hey, put $1,000 on, you know, the, I don't know, the Texans -3.5. If you're actually betting with a legal sports book and, you know, it's one of these actual reputable companies, you don't have the money, you ain't putting that bet down.
Yeah.
So listen, you can still fall into a hole. There are, and they have limits and they do all this, but it doesn't guarantee that's going to be the case. But it's the, and this has been the big problem with, like, sports betting for so long, is this, people look at it as this back alley bookie and all the stuff you've seen in movies. And yeah, that stuff exists. But now you have actual real places where you can do this, where you're not going to get your kneecaps broken if you can't pay a bet, because you're going to put that money down first. It's not call the guy, tell him, and then he's got to come collect, and you're racking this up, and you're trying to
chase. It's like your old roommate that's like your bookie. You used to bet with him all the time, and you trust him, and, like,
well, that's fair.
Now you owe him $90,000,
and, well,
and, like,
listen,
you know, it's like that kind of stuff, man.
There are always problems to anything in life. You can go too far with alcohol, with weed, with, I mean, with women, with binging a show on Netflix for 48 straight hours, and like whatever. Like, you can go into a hole with just about anything. So we all have to make choices in life.
Except kindness.
What's that? Except kindness, right? Well, yeah. Even kindness can go too far because people can take advantage of that. You got to know where to draw the line in your kindness too, okay? So don't think for a second that that doesn't exist. But like, this is, in the end, I don't think the Big 12 and the Big 10 or any of these other conferences are going to sit here and actually have boycotts, or teams are going to boycott and playing them in conference or whatever. I doubt that's actually going to happen, but I think the threat is enough to just kind of make a point. The NCAA has no power anymore. I will tell you this. We're seeing more and more now the lack of power the NCAA has, especially with football. College football is bigger than the NCAA. I've had conversations with some people behind the scenes, and I can tell you that a super conference is moving faster than people expect. There's a lot of things to, you know, come together, and it's going to take time. But I can tell you now that the end result is going to be a super conference in college football with the potential of maybe even like a relegation. There could be a potential of like, let's start at 38 teams and go to 42 and 46. And you know, and you have to meet these certain requirements, because what's going to end up happening is, like, these programs, these big, big college football programs are worth so much money that the media deals that you could get with a super conference of the best teams in college football, it's worth so much more than what's been signed in college football so far. And what it's going to do is also eliminate other programs. So it's not going to be based on, like, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten merging. No, it's just going to be the best teams in the Big Ten and the SEC and the richest programs and the Big 12, and they're all going to come together, and then they're going to pluck a couple teams, like, you know, Florida State maybe will get plucked, and Notre Dame will come in. Yeah, Notre Dame is the one. And what's going to end up happening is then there's going to be a level of, like, relegation that could be possible. That's been discussed. This stuff is moving, and it's moving fast. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be like 2 years from now.
The one thing I've heard, though, is, though, if you make a super league like this, like, all these teams that usually have, like, winning teams every year, they can't all have over 500, you know, records every year if they're all in the same league.
Yeah, it's going to make it, it's going to make every game, but that's the thing, it's going to make every game.
That's not what boosters want to pay for. Like, they don't want to pay for losing teams, and so you have an issue where potentially some people might be like, yeah, we're not throwing as much money at this because you guys keep losing.
Well, you can have out-of-conference games too, right? Like, you could, like, Alabama could play Maryland, you know, or whatever. Like, you'll have games like that where there's going to be, you'll probably have some of those easier pay to lose type games, or even not to that level, but it's like, hey, Iowa's not in the super conference, but they're just outside of it and they're playing to get in, you know, like, you get in next year. Like, I mean,
UCF's gonna be so bitter too.
Oh, listen, it will piss a lot of people off, because the rich will get richer. And there will be a lot of programs that are good programs that are going to get hurt by it. But then there's also, you know, what do they do? Like, the NCAA is going to get forced out with this. They are losing ground fast. They are the dude that's trying to run up a hill on a slick iced sidewalk, and they can't. They're just moving their feet around, and they can't get up it. That's the NCAA right now. They're losing all momentum, and it's going to affect every other sport. College basketball included, but college football is going to have a super conference at some point. We are going in that direction, and they'll have a commissioner, and it's just too big now. It's too big, and there's too much money, and you're gonna. I mean, look at the college realignment we've had in so many places, like across the board.
Institute a salary cap then at that point.
Well, you have to have that too. You've got to regulate these NIL deals. You've got to regulate even more with the transfer portal, though they presented what I think 5 years of eligibility no matter what, but no red shirt. Like, there's a lot of that, but that's the NCAA. So what does the super conference look like? It's going to change. And you know, NIL in general, these teams and programs now need more money because they need to afford these players. So where else are they going to generate this revenue? Is it with more media? They're trying to develop more, you know, media divisions and companies within these actual schools. Like, there's so much going on in college football. In 5 years alone, let alone 15 and 20, college football is going to look so, so different. And they're going to want, this is going to be a thing right here that's going to be a part of it too. And that's also going to really hurt. I mean, even though it's really an injunction with a judge in Texas Tech, they could sit him. It's a whole thing. This is a whole thing. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Got Nats Giants coverage coming up in about 5 minutes here. Nick Ashew on the Fan. You know, we talked earlier about the NBA draft. Wizards decision at number one, AJ DeBonta, Darren Peterson. I do think they'll probably go DeBonta, but they are seriously considering Darren Peterson. And listen, more than anything, you should. You should be doing all of your due diligence and having all the conversations and everything. The Wizards have their own, like, bubble that they're in right now, right? Unless somebody offers them a trade that they cannot refuse, they're going to be the number one overall pick. I don't think the Jazz are actually going to trade up, because Danny Ainge is the guy that is too smart for that. Like, he is. And, you know, if he's not going to get, unless he really wants DeBonson, willing to give up more, it's probably not going to happen. But it's the rest of the draft. There could be a lot of chaos in this draft. I just saw a little while ago that the Heat and the Blazers are the two teams that are like the front runners right now for Giannis, but he wants to go to a team that's like a historical team is the word that was used. I mean, the Heat have had, I'm assuming, means, you know, a team that's had a lot of success, a team that has a rich history, you know, which the Heat would actually fall into that category. They've won a lot of titles. They've got Pat Riley still in the organization. I mean, they got
I don't think a foreign player, the Heat are looked at like, say, the Celtics or Lakers, which is what that
but
sounds
like. But
see,
the like Celtics apparently aren't, are like, the Celtics have been thrown around, but apparently that's not a place he wants to go. Again, a lot of these are
lies. You're talking historical teams, though. Like, to a foreign player, they're probably aware of, like, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Lakers, like, these big dominant teams, you know, for decades. And I don't think that he would probably view the Heat the same way.
And that's what's interesting. It's like, what does historical mean? Because with what you're saying is true. You think Celtics, like teams that are, have been around from the beginning, that'd be like Celtics, Knicks, you know, the Lakers are, have been around forever. Even they were in Minneapolis, they were still there, you know. Or is it a team that has just a rich history of success, established franchise? You know, like that's such an open-ended thing. Giannis is going to determine a lot of this offseason. Giannis and LeBron. I mean, it's still going to be these two guys. They're going to have a massive impact on this offseason because likely, you know, at least Wes Edens, the Bucks co-owner, said one of two things will happen. It'll either be extended or it'll be traded. Yeah, there's a chance that happens by the draft. And listen, if you're the Bucks, you want, if you're going to make a trade, you want to make trades that involve this draft and getting picks in this draft, which is why I hate to say this, but, you know, the Thunder losing in the Western Conference Finals and Chet Holmgren looking the way that he did, the Thunder have two first-round picks. If I'm the Bucks, that's a package right there. You get two first-round picks in this draft, another first-round pick. I mean, would they take Chet Holmgren? He's got his ups, he's got his downs, he gets hurt. But, you know, there's, when he's healthy, he's a good player, except for what happened in that Game 7. But again, how much are you going to get if you're the Bucks? Everybody knows Giannis wants out. He won't say it, but, like, everybody knows what's happening there. Thunder have so many assets, they could trade both their first-round picks, another first-round pick down the road, maybe even another, and they'd still have a boatload. Like, they just have an endless amount. I know it's going to run out at some point, but they'll keep adding more. They got a young roster, a lot of guys, and you can have, trade somebody else, add more picks. Like, this is the model they're going to keep going with. The Giannis movement is going to be what determines a lot of the other stuff moving forward. And LeBron either stays in L.A. or probably goes to Cleveland. I've had the theory for 3 years he goes back to Cleveland, brings Bronny with him, one final run, celebration of his career, go tour around and see everybody. The Lakers need to move on. Like, the Lakers need it to be about Luka and Austin Reeves. They got to pay Austin Reeves a max deal. Cavs would probably welcome him back. He's going to have to take a pay cut. This whole, like, might, you know, he might not take a pay cut. Well, okay. Then you're not going to be able to go anywhere but stay with the Lakers. And if they don't want you, then what? Like, there's a certain point you just have to realize it's just, it's logistics. It's the financial situations of a team, but it's LeBron and Giannis still this offseason. It's going to dictate a lot of, more Giannis than LeBron, because there's a limited amount of teams that can just sign LeBron outright. But what if the Lakers do a sign and trade? Lakers could do a sign and trade, and it's a 1 year deal, and LeBron goes somewhere else for a season. The Warriors, that could be a thing. The Warriors, one last ride. Let's bring in LeBron. Let's have Steph still. You know, he's got a little left in the tank for a couple more years. Hell, let's trade for Anthony Davis from the Wizards. I don't know what they give up, but, you know, could be that. LeBron and AD one more time, right? This Giannis thing is just so dragged on for so long. It's just, there's a certain point where the whole loyalty thing in sports, it's fans. Fans are the only people that are actually loyal in sports. In the end, it's a business for everybody else. And I understand that players want to stay with a team, and it's home, and there's, you know, there's factors and quality of life that are outside of it, but you get to a certain point. Giannis has spent too much. It's just been too long in Milwaukee. The minute they won that title, everything started going downhill. They tried the Dame trade. That didn't work. Chris Middleton kept getting hurt, and it's just, you know, there's only so much you can do. If a guy keeps getting hurt, you can only do so much with it. And it got to a point where you just realize, like, now it's gotten venomous. It's bad. And, you know, there's a battle at the end of the year. He wants to play. They don't want him to play. Like, it's a whole thing. Like, this is, so he's not going back to Milwaukee. Giannis in Miami. The Heat haven't done anything aggressive in a while. Kind of feel like this is an offseason where they make something like that happen. Ja Morant's throwing around. I don't know. This NBA offseason, once these finals are done, you got the draft, which could bring all kinds of chaos that night. And then you're looking the next day, and it's like, oh, yeah, here come three stars getting traded. Wizards could get involved. Anthony Davis might get moved. Now, granted, if you could raise his stock, it could work too. All right, we got Nats Giants coverage coming up next. Oh, good stuff, Metal Chris. We're going to work on this this XFL whatever type league we have. Nick Ashew on the Fan.